Hello, and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today's episode is possible thanks to the generous sponsorship of healthcare billing and collections company AccuServe. You can learn more about them at AccuServeCorp.com. That's all one word, AccuServeCorp.com. There are some key staffing positions in HME provider businesses, but owners, operators, and management aren't always able to get the best talent for the job. Here today to talk more about that challenge and some solutions for it is Jim Knight. Jim is the CEO of AccuServe, and he's been solving problems like this in home healthcare for more than 30 years. And in fact, AccuServe is just about to be celebrating its 30th anniversary in April. Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So let's start with the situation that a lot of HME providers are finding themselves in. And that is the challenges that they face when it comes to staffing. I think COVID's kind of reset the pieces on the game a bit. And now they're facing some new challenges. What are they?
No question, David. It's a challenging time to be an employer in whatever industry you're in, but specifically in the HME, we pride ourselves on being a staffing labor component with our care of what we're doing for the patients. And that's one of our greatest strengths that we bring as an industry to home healthcare. The challenge is that staffing is also our greatest challenge. So as we're looking across our client base and we're talking to customers on a daily basis, the biggest issue right now is turnover, having people over the COVID experience, getting that taste of freedom of being at home and kind of setting their life expectations has changed the work ethic we've found. There's a lot more people taking off. There's still sickness running around. So as a provider, it really is a challenge to, number one, hire the quality people that they're looking for. Very rarely can they find somebody that has the skill set that they need. HME is not taught in any schools. So when you come in, you're going to start from scratch to teach an employee all the various aspects of the business, and intake is the number one issue, where your referral starts and managing that patient, managing that documentation, the payer guidelines, et cetera. And that challenge really is difficult when you don't have a consistent workforce. When somebody calls off and you have three people, that's a third of your workforce that called off that day, and maybe they're out for a week. How do you catch up? And now you're frustrating your referral sources, you're frustrating your patients. And that is really what has driven our number one fastest growing component of our business, which is helping with these intake resources and intake positions and tasks. So that's kind of what we're seeing in the landscape.
Yeah. And I would imagine that if somebody loses somebody, their options aren't that great, especially if you're talking about a small provider with maybe, you know, one or two locations in a county or something like that. They've only got that local workforce to try and recruit from.
Yes, absolutely. It's nearly impossible for them to pull in somebody. And then the greater challenge is, even if they do find somebody that seems to have a work ethic, seems to have the ability to pick up and learn and be able to absorb what you're being taught, they just don't have the pool of people in that community to find them. And then second, if they do find them, they don't have the pool of people in their own organizations to train them, because everyone's still trying to do their own job. And these providers have a real challenge with trying to figure out how to train while still keeping the lights on and the patients served. So the training process is very difficult for most providers across the industry. So even if they do find somebody, it's difficult. Whereas, with a company like ours, we're in 37 different states, so we're able to hire anywhere in the country, which helps us at least find more talent that maybe have left a larger organization. There's a lot of mergers and acquisitions that are happening in the field right now. Mm-hmm. So that displaces people all across the country. So we're able to bring them on and then retool them and be able to deploy into our clients and really be able to supplement the staffing crisis that's going on.
And before we get into the solutions, I think crisis is a good place, is a good way to describe it, because, you know, despite the fact that DME isn't taught in schools, like you mentioned, and there's a lot of training involved and things like that. And, you know, there's not a lot of people who are available to do the work. These positions within the HME business are handling key steps in provider workflows, you know, whether it's billing or working with referrals. Maybe you can get into that. 100%. You know, what are the sorts of things that these people are doing that, you know, they're kind of in the hot seat here? What are some of the roles that they're carrying out?
Yeah, I think as an industry, we've really dropped the ball on how we're compensating and recruiting for the most important positions of any provider, and that is the CSR intake rep. Mm. Typically, this industry is bringing them on. They're paying somewhere between $15 and $18 an hour, and we're expecting them to take a referral, understand the guidelines for what the product is that they're even getting, what is the product, and then second, they have to understand what the guidelines are for the insurance payer that the patient has. So they have to understand whether what documentation requirements are there, whether a prior authorization is needed. We are in the only healthcare segment that I've seen where we actually have to validate that the physician should have prescribed the product. Yeah. I mean, think about that for a second. We're asking a $15 an hour person to validate a medical professional that spent probably 12 years of their life to the point where they're prescribing a wheelchair, and we have to determine whether they should have prescribed a walker. So just that concept alone puts a lot of burden on the shoulders of these intake reps. And then as you look through it, the fastest way to cash is making sure you have a clean claim. And a clean claim is validating the patient's insurance, making sure the documentation's intact, making sure the prior authorization's obtained, and then submitting that claim, and the next person that touches it is the payment poster. So you will improve your collection rates by having a better intake department. And that's just where I feel most providers are not putting the emphasis on that role. And they probably should be paid in the neighborhood of $50,000 a year plus to keep them, train them. And that's kind of where I think the real issue is in our marketplace.
It's you're right. You know, you're waiting for all this important documentation, and you're following up with people on all this important documentation, and then you've got to validate it. It's incredibly complex, and the software they're using is complex as well.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. The software is a huge factor in helping your staff understand the landscape of qualifications and all these things I just talked about. If the systems are not set up correctly, you're really putting the burden on a person unnecessarily, because the software technology typically across the boards have the ability to hold for a prior authorization if it's set up correctly, identifying coverage limitations. So I can't just dispense a certain amount of quantity because this insurance payer only does X number of units per 90 days. So if I try to do it sooner than that, it's going to kick it out. So there's many of the software applications allow you to put in these business rules. However, again, because most providers are short staffed, they never have the time to really absorb or even understand what software features and functionality could be implemented to help their personnel through the process. And that's one of the biggest factors that AccuServe brings to the table as well.
Okay, so maybe that's a good point to talk about what you guys are doing. How are you guys helping to step in and help address these challenges that HME providers are facing?
So we look at ourselves as a strategic partner and not just a vendor, not just a staffing component when we take on a new client. So, and because of that, our bread and butter is taking and managing an AR process, a complete revenue cycle. And on the back end, we're taking a percentage of what comes in the bank to help cover all these aspects. Well, it is in our best interest to make sure that all the software capabilities and technology is set up to have the cleanest possible claim, because that keeps our labor cost down on the back end. It also keeps the write-offs down at the back end, because at the end of the day, if I didn't obtain the par properly, if my system wasn't set up to even hold for a par and I went ahead and dispensed, the chance of me being able to retro auth a par to go back and get that month is probably gone. So now I've lost money, my increase in write-offs happened, so therefore I'm decreasing my cash opportunity. And yes, you know, if it's a rental, I can maybe extend if the patient has it for 13 months, let's say. But the fact of the matter is you lost a month's worth of work. And it's the onus becomes ours to make sure that those systems are set up in a proper way so that we're managing those claim processes through with the least amount of labor involved so that we can keep our rates low and continue to lower them. I think we're probably one of the few revenue cycle companies that actually goes to our clients and say, hey, we can do it at a lower rate because we've improved all these things. You've improved these steps on the front end. So now we have a lower cost of labor. So it's just that consultative strategic partnership that I think makes us much different than our competitors.
And that's so that's interesting. So because there are other approaches to solving this problem. How do you guys differ from that? Like, you know, what are the other approaches and how do you guys differ from that?
So our competition's really grown over the last 5 years from the staffing companies. So companies, and I'm sure people listening right now, just got an email from one of these providers that said, hey, you can come in. How would you like $6 an hour, $9 an hour staff? We can supply it. You guys manage it. So that's really our biggest, I guess, competition. Providers see the get dollar signs in their eyes like, oh my God, I have a staffing problem. I can just solve this by bringing on 5 new people that can just come in and start doing some of the work that I can't get to. And what I would have the providers pause and think for a second is that, do you have currently the processes in place to manage the people you have currently doing these job functions? And if you don't, how do you expect to manage somebody that's across the world with these additional job functions? So it's a very difficult process to really stay on top and manage and make sure you're getting the output that you expect and the results that you expect. And furthermore, when you're going to get an uptick initially from any of these companies because they're getting through the work that hasn't been gone. So you're going to have an initial uptick of success, whether it's getting through AR, whether it's getting through the prior authorizations that need to be obtained, things of that nature. However, when you look at it over the long term, that business model doesn't have any skin in the game to make sure that your processes are more efficient. Because at the end of the day, their goal is to sell more labor. So they want you to continue to increase the number of FTEs that you have. Well, if they start fixing systems and really solving procedural issues, all that's going to do is eliminate the number of people that you need. So is that the right partner for your business? Is that the strategic concept that you're looking for? Is one thing I would definitely have the provider have a second look at.
So you mentioned, finding strategic issues and addressing them. Is that a service that you guys offer?
100%. It's built into our service. So it's hard for me and my team to really sell the consultative approach that we inherently just give to customers. That's why we have so many customer testimonials that hopefully are really saying it for us. But when we bring on a company, we're always looking at procedural changes, software changes, payer related issues. You know, we're spanning across almost 50 states now of who we're dealing with from a payer perspective and a product perspective. That it's in, why wouldn't we communicate what one provider is doing successfully to another provider that's, you know, doesn't have any competition? You know, we have to bring that consulting. We are, you know, that full service solution, and we're not nickeling and diming our customers for every time they want to ask a device. We're being proactive. We're doing it as part of our service. And I think that's another component. We're not out there to continually in the nickel and dime, and every time you want something, we have to charge you for it. To me, we're in this to help the customer grow. So we're looking for organizations that literally want to leave this burden of staffing behind and do what they got in the business to do in the first place, which is servicing their patients, going out and managing the referral sources, managing their inventory, and dispensing and having an overall full end-to-end solution with their patient care. They probably didn't get into the business because they had the best revenue cycle department and recipe that's in the land. typically that's not who the people are that are going into this space and trying to drive this space. You know, that's not their core competency.
Got it. And it's interesting to me because you were talking about it seems to me that what you guys are doing is, to say a provider comes to you and they want to outsource a certain workflow within their revenue cycle management, that then you guys are not just carrying out the task of this workflow, but you're trying to figure out ways to make it better and see how it could better integrate with that provider's business. Is that a fair way to kind of summarize it?
100%. And I haven't really talked yet about our technology, but not only are we using the systems out there that they might be on, Braintree, Bonafide, CPR Plus, Fast Track, whatever the case is, we're not only helping them use that tool to the best that can possibly be done, but we also have our own proprietary technology that allows us to pull data in from any of these systems, manage the workflow of what needs to be done, whether it's working invoices and tracking down denials, or whether it's managing prior authorizations and documentation. But as a secondary solution and as an outside technology, we can provide data that just they simply cannot get. So as I mentioned earlier about, do they have the tools in place to manage their own people, let alone hiring FTEs from anywhere in the world? We have the technology that can go in and actually monitor what's being done, but more importantly than what is being done, what happens next? What's the effectiveness of the work that's being performed? You know, if I hired 5 more people to work an AR account, they're going through and touching, you know, 50, maybe now we're 5 of them, they're touching 200 invoices a day. Well, touching an invoice and rebilling an invoice are much different than actually effectively working an invoice and getting it paid. So do they have the capability of actually seeing the results that are being done? You know, do they see what that denial rate is for that FTE? Do they see the collection rates for that FTE when they're engaging in an invoice or engaging in a prior authorization or documentation retrieval? There's much more to it than just having somebody do more work.
Well, this definitely sounds interesting. How can providers start examining whether or not these sorts of solutions are right for them?
Well, I would start with educating the provider that it's not just about the cost of labor. You have to also look at your collection rates. You have to look at your over 90 numbers. Our clients are experiencing 15% or less over 90, which is literally half of what the average DME provider is in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. They're seeing collection rates in the 92-93%. So the more money you're putting in out there, the more allowable you're creating, the more money you should be putting in the bank. Well, what most companies don't do is do a division and say, okay, well, what's my entire labor cost? What I would ask them to do is take a look at how much money they're paying in their labor for managing invoicing, managing AR, managing payment posting, and divide that into what they're currently collecting. So that would give their percentage of collection. They can also do that from an intake perspective and all the pieces and components that go in. So as they're looking at the cost of what it takes to generate maybe subpar results and the fact that they're only doing mid 80% collection rates, their AR over 90 is 30%. They have to really look at this as in a much higher level to say, look, if I were able to bring on a solution that costs me maybe 10% more of what I'm doing today, but I generated 2% more in collections off of my allowable created each month, I'm winning. And I'm doing mm-hmm. that at a variable expense where I'm not managing the labor, I'm not managing the people. I'm just looking at my bank account and saying, look, I'm more confident today to be able to grow my business than I was yesterday because I've got a partner that's going to make sure that my business is running as streamlined as possible when it comes to revenue cycle.
All right. Well, Jim, this is fascinating stuff. Thanks for being on the podcast and sharing all your expertise and insights into what's become a very pertinent and immediate management challenge for a lot of providers out there. our providers want to find out more about AccuServe, how can they reach you guys?
They can reach us. Easiest way is our website, AccuServeCorp.com. That's 1C, ACUServeCorp.com. And there's ways to contact us, reach out. We can do a demo of our technology. We can do a full analysis for free of the last 12 months of your business and kind of tell you where we think you should be. And, you know, we're a transparent company. Our providers and customers that we work with have all access to our tools. So we're in this, we've been in this industry forever and we're in it for the long term. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, David, for the opportunity.
Oh, hey, it's been great. And thanks for being on the podcast, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jim Knight of AccuServe for being on the podcast. Again, if you want to find out more, you can visit them at AccuServeCorp.com. Again, that's AccuServe with 1C, Corp.com. Now, before I sign off, if you liked today's episode, please take a quick second to rate and review it. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to click the subscribe button so you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we will keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. That'll keep you in touch with everything we're doing, not just newsletters, but also our eBooks, podcasts, webinars, et cetera, et cetera. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via email. I'm at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics such as human resources and billing. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.